Hey guys, welcome to Digital Soup, a hilariously geeky podcast bringing you the best geeky conversations. And we've got a geeky, laughter-filled show for you today. We're going to discuss a retro gaming loot box service, are CGI remakes really live-action reboots, and Daredevil falls while Cap may still be standing. Plus, don't miss the track from Saboteurs and our unsigned music spotlight, so stick around to the end of the episode for that. Now guys, how many times do I have to tell you to listen closely? I'm not going to do this again. Here is my remake of 3 AM by Matchbox 20, performed on a dog whistle. Roll the music and let's get going.
Awesome, Dave. That sounded even better than the original. All right.
Great.
I just can't believe you hit that high of a note.
I can't believe it either. I mean, it was beautiful. It was like cherubs singing all simultaneously. It was
Maybe not that.
All right, everybody. Well, welcome back to Digital Soup, the only podcast that is rhyming and thieling. Can you digs it?
Goodness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I got football on the brain. How about you two?
No.
I not feeling great.
Dave's got allergies today.
No, that's not what I mean. We're recording this for listeners. Usually we record at night, like Sunday night or Monday nights. We're trying something different, recording Sunday afternoon before the Vikings game. And I was going to say, I'm very not feeling great about this game coming up today, but
we might not be digs in it. He's questionable, right?
It's winnable, but it's going to be a tough one.
Oh, we can do it. It's the loser Patriots. We'll take them down. Oh yeah. What have they ever done?
More than me.
Well, yeah. So does a bumblebee on its birthday.
Is that an Ohio phrase?
I just made it up. It's a J phrase.
Bumblebee on its birthday.
All right, everybody. Well, my name here is Jason. And joining me in the virtual studio today, earlier than normal, is Adam and usually Dave. How's it going, gentlemen?
Good morning.
Yes, it's 3 a.m. We're just waking up to do this podcast.
Wait, it's 3 a.m. and what? I must be lonely. Dang it, you've been scrolling Facebook again.
Maybe.
Well, I was going to go, it's 3:30 in the morning, not a soul in sight, city's like a ghost town. You guys don't know Garth Brooks, so we'll forget it.
I just know his...
Dave only knows Garth Brooks. We talked about that last time.
Yeah, two times ago.
It has been a while since we talked about loot boxes and subscription boxes stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's a new company that is doing this with a retro gaming twist, and it's called Retro Game Treasure. Grain Treasure. They send you a different style of wheat every month.
I hope I get myself some wild rice. Can I get some wild rice?
So anyway, for $35 or a month, basically, you get a what they call a classic chest or whatever, filled of lots of classic gaming nostalgia, including 3 to 5 games. Pretty interesting, and I wonder how well it works. I know some of the accessories that you can add on there, like things where you can clean your Nintendo and all kinds of old school gaming.
That's just blown into it.
Yeah.
That's what we used to do.
Comes with one of those lens cleaners from your camera where you just...
Well, I remember for the cartridges, you would buy that cleaning kit. It would be like a stick with like a soft something on the end, and you put this little chemical on it, usually just like alcohol, but you would rub that along all the contacts. And I was actually surprised to see how dirty those contacts were. That wand would come back just filthy.
Yep.
And that's usually the cartridges I borrowed from Adam. Mine are pristine.
Yeah, as if I had any library to borrow from.
Well, Adam, you know why Jason's cartridges are always pristine, much like his gaming systems now?
Because he never plays.
Yeah, he buys all this stuff, and he spends all his time playing WoW from 1980 instead of playing current games with you and I.
Hey, I barely played it. I probably played it about a half hour. But what these guys are talking about is I finally installed World of Warcraft again.
I hope the Vikings defense is this strong.
Well, there, it's all going to be all about the defense if Diggs is in
there. I almost spit coffee everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Well done.
All right, well, back to the story here. Now, you are receiving 3 to 5 retro games, as Adam did say, which is pretty cool. Now, you... when you sign up for this, you're going to check the systems you have. So it will be games for systems you own. It's, they're not going to send you a TurboGrafx-16 game and all you have is a Genesis. You know, that would be pretty dumb.
Yeah.
But they do say that every game is fully tested and working properly. And since this is older games and they're tested, so you know these are not shrink-wrapped brand new. These are used games, but they are certified to be operational, which is pretty cool. I mean... most games that anybody wanted, they probably already have. So I don't know if not you, because you never had anything to loan out. That's right. Yeah. So what did you do? Just rent your games all the time?
Not everybody had all the money in the world to throw out Nintendo stuff. Yeah, no, I had to go to the local library for my NES games. Yeah.
Whoa, you went Freeville, Indiana. Whoa,
nope, Gilbert, Minnesota.
Well, no, I mean, you didn't even rent them. You didn't even pay $2 to get it. You went to the library. Can I please get myself a game?
And some books for learning.
The best when he got older and he walked into Blockbuster and handed over his library card. And got so mad when they wouldn't get, they threw him out of there.
Wait, isn't the last Blockbuster in Indiana? I can't remember now.
I don't know, but as a result of that experience that I had, I told somebody that I sure wish somebody could send DVDs in the mail, and then Blockbuster got taken out.
Well, you know that
just kidding, false.
What is that one remaining rental through the mail place, Gamefly? That still exists, I believe. Mm-hmm. They're still going strong.
Well, anyway, this is kind of a cool story, because for anybody that's really into retro gaming, you keep these games. This isn't like a subscription where you have to like a rental thing. You get to keep these games, and they also have a list of shame. So they talk about there's games that nobody should ever have to play because they're so bad, and they're saying they are never going to put those in there. So they've got, for examples, they have Superman 64, Shaq Fu, Matt, and let's see, what do they put?
That I didn't understand. They said Madden for any console. So these guys are Madden haters, because Madden games are great. Those are not shame games.
Huh.
I did think that was kind of funny when I saw Madden in there. Well, now, I do agree with Superman 64. It was horrendous. Adam probably never played it because his local library did not carry that one. But E.T., is that on the list?
64-bit games for the 8-bit? No, they didn't have those.
Well, you just got to get that adapter. You know, they had on the Sega Genesis, they had that 32X, took that 16-bit system to 32X.
Oh. Hey, I don't mean to change the topic here about the games, but I'm looking at this, and on their store on the site, they have, you can buy consoles. Now, they're not selling the official Nintendo or any of that, but they've got this thing on here. It's called a Super Boy S. It's like 90 mm-hmm. bucks, and it looks like a giant SNES controller with a screen, and if I'm reading this right, you can play US and Japan region SNES games in a handheld,
mm-hmm.
but it can also be hooked to your television AV out, so it can be used as a normal SNES for $90 plus this subscription. That's actually pretty darn sweet.
Yeah, it's not bad, and you can hook up a couple of regular Super NES controllers to it and have multiplayer. Yeah. Now, that's the screen crazy. Is not the largest. I remember reading about this. I can't remember how big it was, but for my failing eyesight, I don't know how well that would work for me. But again, and also you have to have the actual cartridges.
This if you had something like that and then marked SNES and you signed up for this loot box, you get some cool stuff to play every week. Or every month, I mean.
If I was to pick any of them, I'd go with one of the Retrons, where they play multiple consoles. A lot of them play like Super NES, 8-bit Nintendo, and Sega Genesis, so you could get all three consoles in one.
Mm. Really?
Yeah, there's a Retron 2, plays SNES and NES games, comes with two different controllers. That's like $45. And then there's a Retron 5 for $150, which will play NES, SNES, Famicom, Super Famicom, Genesis, Game Boy, Game Boy Color, and Game Boy Advance, and save states on your games as well.
Now, that's kind of cool that it has save states.
Look at that controller with an ugh.
Yeah, it looks horrible. I'm looking at it, too. Hopefully, you could use any Bluetooth controller on it. That is horrid. A horrendous controller. Adam, did you click on it?
Which gaming system are we looking
at? Retron 5.
Where is that one?
I think it's the third one on the top.
Yeah, when you click the console shop on their site, retrogametreasure.com.
It is. That's pretty horrible.
That controller.
You guys don't knock it till you try it.
I know.
It's a 1989 PC controller that they retrofitted.
The console itself from the picture almost reminds me of an older, like late 80s, early 90s flatbed scanner.
Guys, I have to say Ermagerd real fast here, because if you click on page 2, they are selling replica NES sleeves with logos. Remember the 8-bit cartridge sleeves? Oh, man, I loved those back in the day. So you could buy replacement sleeves.
This place is actually pretty decent looking, man. I mean,
and the prices aren't bad either.
I mean, when you look at a retro box, or a retro box, a loot box, and, you know, we've talked about the one here in the past, Deontay Box, which is kind of, you know, you pick what you want sort of thing. Everyone knows about, you know, Loot Box or Loot Crate or whatever and all these other ones. But there's none that I know of that are sending you actual working playable games. I mean, that's I think about as a kid. And even now you think about if you're a collector and a fan of these classic games and, you know, you're looking for new stuff and $35 a month really is not that much, because you might pay that much for one copy of one of the games that pops up in your box.
Well, and when we were kids, they were $50 a piece.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm just adjusting for inflation.
Hey, take a look at this. You can buy a used Sega Dreamcast with controller for $59.99. So you could get yourself your Dreamcast again, Dave, unless you still have it.
I still have it. My nephew has it. He plays it all the time.
Oh, cool.
I do like that a lot of the Retron consoles are... Hey, it's in 720p. We're upscaling.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hey, it does mean a lot, though, because I have the RetroPie, and you guys have not been able to see that. But when they upscale the... Yes, on a high-def TV, upscale to 720. No, the graphics don't get better. But they do get super sharp. They look really nice.
Okay.
I enjoy it a lot. You guys, let me build you one. Pay me for it, but let me build you one. You know what? Maybe when I get rich someday, I'll build you guys one.
All right. Fair enough.
So, yeah, I mean, this is something definite. Now, Dave from the Digital Sweep did say he was going to subscribe for 1 month. He's going to check out the service, see how it's going. And then we'll give you a full review after he has, what do you need, like 2 weeks to
Not agree to any of this and will not be doing that at this time. Just can't do it right now. But
well, I bet you
can't afford that.
I got kids. You know, I bet you the retro grain. Thanks, Adam. Now that's in my head. Retro game treasure. I bet you they have a very secure website for transactions, etc. Mm-hmm. I bet you they're not going to have any kind of data breach. What do you guys think?
I'd hope not.
We would really hope not.
There's so many breaches going on. Dave, you put the story in. Tell me about this breach, and it's not when the baby's born, all right?
Yeah. Well, another massive data breach now. This one's saying it potentially impacts up to 500 million people, and this time, it's the massive hotel chain Marriott that is the culprit. And, you know, the worst part about this, they're saying... this was, I think, back in 2016, Marriott purchased a company, I believe it was called Starwood. And and they're saying this whole problem happened. Initially, they're saying...
Is that when Star-Lord gets really happy?
No.
No. Okay. That is not when Gamora walks in the room.
I was talking about just, you know, he was whittling away.
No.
You weren't.
This company, they initially said it was just the small amount of this Starwood reservation database that was left over that was impacted. But what's coming out now is that it seems like it could be the entire system, up to as many as 500 million people. And we're talking everything from, you know, email addresses, mailing addresses, phone numbers, passport numbers, and of course, credit card information. And so something to be aware of if you've, you know, stayed at a Marriott or had your information there. The part that just gets me the most on this is that they kind of offhandedly describe this as, I'm quoting the article here on the whatever website I found this on, complex.com. It's a multiple glitches while merging computer systems. You think? I mean, that's more than a glitch, you know, having a massive breach. It's unreal, these companies, when this stuff is happening and They're just writing it off as, we just had a little glitch in the computer. I think of a glitch and it's like, wow, that's weird. My sound cut out for a minute. You know, not like, oh, that's weird. All of my personal information was now shot out over the internet.
Wonderful.
I don't know.
What the heck is going on? So they don't have any details on how this happened?
Nothing much, at least in this story. I know there was a number of stories out, and I just kind of had grabbed the first one that popped up. When I heard about it, I just popped in Marriott breach. But, yeah, this went. Yeah, it's not a breach. It's a glitch. You know, it came out. I guess it was last Friday, I believe. The 30th, it just broke. Yeah, so we'll see what happens. I mean, my hope is with this that as time goes on and more information comes out and they're able to look into it more, that maybe it is, even though it's still bad to have a breach of, you know, just the Starwood reservation database. My hope is that maybe it's just that and not, you know, 500 million. Maybe it's only going to impact a few hundred thousand or something, which is still bad, but much better than, you know, another mass data breach.
Now, every year we go on vacation and we stay at hotels. I'm hoping that I'm going to have to find out if any of them are Marriott affiliated. So,
well, the thing is, their breach is already there. It's already happened. You know, you switch from them and go to someone else.
No, but I mean, in the past, I mean, I was just in Canada last year and we stayed at Hilton. Is Hilton and Marriott, they're completely different, I'm sure, right?
I think so. I mean, you look at this. This is the CEO. His name is Arnie Sorensen. From Marriott International. His quote on it says, you know, the company had fallen short of what guests deserve and what the company expects of itself. They're doing everything they can to support our guests and using lessons learned from this to be better moving forward. I mean, I get it. And these things can happen to anybody. They really can. I'm linking up here. If you guys want, we can throw this in the show notes also. It's the actual statement and story from the Associated Press. But it's, I mean,
well, it's all another these breaches,
huge breach.
Yeah, and I was going to say, with all these breaches that are going on, companies are just looking at it like, well, that's just, you know, that's just in today's world, when you do business with people, you got to expect that your stuff's going to get stolen.
Yeah, and it's scary because it's almost getting to that point for so many people that it is just basically becoming the cost of doing business. I mean, the AP site, they've got a chart here talking about the largest data breaches. 2016's Yahoo breach was the biggest one.
Oh, hey, can you say it like the commercial real fast?
Like the commercial?
Yahoo!
Yahoo!
I can't, but I knew I could convince you guys to.
Yeah.
They were the biggest at 3 billion records. Russian hacking across thousands of sites in 2014 with 1 billion. And then Marriott Hotels in number 3, 2014 through 2018, at 500 million, tied with another 500 million from Yahoo in 2016. So if anything, I guess they set a record, you know, went big or went home. They made a bronze medal out of the deal. So,
I still think the Experian one, the big, the credit, Equifax. Experian was one of the other ones, right?
Yeah. And I was Equifax, affected by that. Which
Equifax on this one, I can't remember the Experian one off the top of my head, but they're saying here, based on the AP site, the Equifax in 2017 was 145.5 million. So not even half as big as what Marriott just had happen now.
Well, you know what I wish? I really wish that, you know, all these companies that are letting our data get out, I wish they were on Netflix so they could get canceled.
Ugh, this one kills me. No pun.
Yeah, you know, I've still only seen the first couple of episodes of the first season. And what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is Daredevil, which is the latest superhero TV series on Netflix to get canceled by Netflix. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and this one is kind of a surprise, but maybe not really, depending on how you look at it. This season of Daredevil, I have not had a chance to watch it yet, but it is getting critical acclaim. Everyone's talking about how fantastic of a season it was. Yeah, I mean, there are people talking about it that it is just blowing the doors off. It's amazing. And, you know, they canceled a little bit earlier this year. Iron Fist and Luke Cage, The Defenders, has been canceled kind of for a while. And those both reportedly had better seasons than their first season, too. But the problem is, one of the things people are saying is that these shows are no longer getting the buzz on social media that they did, you know, the first time around, second time around. And people are wondering if that's why they're canceling these shows. I don't know if that's the case or if it's more to do with there's something more that's going to happen with these characters, because we've got Disney starting, you know, they've got their Disney Plus streaming service. Could possibly see them over on Hulu, which when this Fox merger goes through, Disney now owns, I think, 30% of that company, but they'll own another 30%.
Of Hulu, so, you're talking about,
of Hulu,
not Netflix.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, of Hulu. So Disney will basically have, I think, a 60% interest in Hulu, so they'll probably push a lot of their stuff there as well. And no one really knows why it's canceled. They're not really saying anything definitive, but the only ones left standing that I can think of are Jessica Jones and The Punisher. And I think the only reason...
It's like we're operating in the blind on this one.
Yeah, and it's it's really one of those things where the only reason I think that we haven't seen those two canceled is, if I'm not mistaken, they've already filmed a good chunk of the next seasons for those as well, possibly.
Can I give you my theory on why these are getting canceled?
Theories are good. Let's hear them.
Here's my theory, because I was thinking about this when I saw this headline, and then Dave put this in the show notes, so I... Yeah, and then I'm looking at all the, you know, other superhero ones that have been canceled on Netflix. I'm assuming that these shows are not cheap to make.
No, probably not.
They can't be.
Yeah, I mean, they're not Infinity War cost, but they're not cheap. They're not like Cheers. They're not like Gilligan's Island.
Right.
Who knows? Well, maybe that was on an island. Maybe it cost a little bit. But here's what I'm saying here is, these shows are streamed to you on Netflix, a service you pay $9.99 for. There are no commercials. They put all this money into producing these shows, and they thought, hey, we're going to get more people to sign up for Netflix because they're going to want to see these shows. They probably did not get an influx of new customers, so now all this money is going out to produce these shows. There's no new money coming in. There's no ad revenue because there is no commercials on these shows on Netflix, so they're hemorrhaging money with nothing to show for it. And well, I bet you that might have a lot to do with it.
I don't know about that. I don't know that I'd say they're hemorrhaging money. I think Netflix is doing pretty well for itself.
Well, I understand that, but they're not getting... if you don't get additional subscribers to offset the cost of these shows, it's not like this is on AMC or NBC where they charge, you know, millions of dollars for commercial spots. Well, okay, that's Super Bowl, but you know what I mean.
Right.
They charge a lot. Like AMC charges a lot of money for commercial spots for The Walking Dead, since it is such a big hit for them, and other hit shows too. Like, name
Comic
a hit
book
show.
Man.
Yeah, but other hit shows like Friends. When Friends was on, I bet you that the ad revenue made during that half hour was way more than other half hours. So they're not getting any ad revenue, and you know, people that subscribe to Netflix might already have been the geeky nerdy people that know how to do streaming. So they've already subscribed. They're not getting in that many new people. So, yes, it is compared to, you know, their costs were prior to producing these original shows.
Yeah, but my only thought with that, and it's not saying I completely disagree with you, but my only thought is that I really don't think Netflix's only income model or revenue model is just based solely on number of subscribers and how many people are signing up new service.
Is it not? Where else do they get the money?
I mean, that's a big chunk of it, but I think a lot of it comes in when you look at the back end of this stuff, the merchandising, the, you know, other stuff that's going.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen Netflix merchandise though. But
well,
maybe
but
like
you
the
have
show
seen,
stuff.
You have seen, yeah, their shows. That's what I'm talking about. So like there is Daredevil merchandise. There are different things happening with it. And I think you might be onto something in the sense, Jason, where because it is a Netflix original, but Netflix has to pay Disney essentially
Netflix
to use that
butt.
Character. What?
Netflix original butt, he said.
Yes, original butt. No, Netflix is paying Disney to use those characters and make these original stories. So they may be looking at it, taking the approach that, you know, if we're going to put this money into something and make these original stories, we're going to make it something that we own entirely. My personal hunch is that what's happening is that once this Disney and Fox merger went through, these were never, when Disney announced they were going to put out their own streaming service and they've acquired the controlling interest in Hulu with this merger as well, the writing was on the wall, and I would not be surprised to find out at some point in the future that Disney gave Netflix a buyout, because remember, this is a Netflix original story. So even though Disney owns the character, Netflix owns this property, you know, this creation. And so my guess, I would not be a bit surprised if there was just some kind of, you know, backroom dealing saying, look, we're going to pay you X amount of money. We want to bring these characters back to one of our services somewhere there. And we're going to pay you off for that, lets you do your own thing. Netflix is feeling okay because they're not having to pay Disney anymore for some of this stuff. You know, that there could be some of that in there. But then the other wild card is we're getting set now. The timeline on this is starting to come into focus a little more, and we don't know anything concrete yet. But when you start looking at timelines, we've got Captain Marvel in March. We've got Avengers 4 coming in May, which from all accounts they're saying is going to radically change the MCU. And so I wonder how much of this, I mean, they talked initially about making this Defenders group, Daredevil, Luke Cage, you know, all of these, part of the main MCU, and they have reference to those things in the shows, but they've never actually been actively combined. And I wonder how much of when things change going forward with the MCU, if they're going to look to bring in some of these characters into the main MCU in some fashion.
That would be awesome. You know, bring these in, have them, you know, standalone movies and stuff. But please, please, I am asking Disney, I'm asking Marvel, please, please, please do not add these characters to the Avengers storyline. We do not need more characters in the Avengers storyline. Everybody's going to become second fiddle. They're just going to be background characters sooner or later. There's so many of them.
Until they start, you know, getting rid of a bunch. Like Chris Evans, Captain America.
He says he's finished.
Yeah.
But is he?
So what's that all about? Is he? That's the big question.
He says he is, but it sounds like the Russo brothers say no.
Yep.
So is it like we have him under contract? No, Chris Evans. We own you for three more movies. Well, or we will sue your butt. And we're talking about a lot of butts this week.
It's the butt cast.
Is that when you break your butt and you got to get a cast on
it? Yeah, it's Digital Soup number 102.
Ooh, number
cast.
Two.
Well, you could tell it was broken because there's a crack in it.
Anyway. Yeah. No, what's going on? The thing to remember, you know, everyone remembers this was, what, a couple months ago when Chris Evans made a big deal on Instagram, I believe it was, with a post saying, you know, he's really enjoyed his time as Captain America and this and that, and it's all wrapped up. And it was kind of a weird thing because everyone jumped to the assumption that he's done, he's walking away, myself included, thinking, well, it sounds like he's done this time.
What if him and Henry Cavill switch places and he becomes DC Superman?
That would be awesome.
Well, he's actually going to revitalize his role in the Fantastic Four. He said, I don't want to be Captain America anymore.
Yeah, now that
they're Johnny Blaze.
Now they're part of Disney, he could maybe do that. But, you know, it's interesting, though, because with the remarks that were done then, there was still, when you really look at what was said, he never said, I'm done with this character forever. It was basically saying Avengers 4 is wrapped.
But Adam, everyone, quit typing. You're interrupting Dave.
Everyone kind of now you have to leave that mic in. That's the best part. But now everyone kind of assumed he was done. He's not playing Captain America anymore. And no one came out and said otherwise, you know, one way or the other. But he said things like this before in the past, too, when his contracts have been coming up and they've renegotiated. He's got a new contract and he's been back. But Joe Russo, one of the two directors, he had came out and said his quote here, which was from the Gizmodo site, says, I think it was more emotional for him than it was us because he's not done yet. I won't explain what that means, but fans will soon understand what I'm talking about.
Ooh, it's going to be just like Rip Grimes. He's going to have his own little standalone movies. Oh, wait, he already did.
Did you say Rip Grimes?
Yeah, he's
Rip
like...
Rip Grimes! That's if Rip Taylor and Rick Grimes had a baby.
Okay. Yep, because you split up the names. That's how that works.
Yeah. Hey, can I ask you a question here, Dave?
Yeah.
This story you put in here, was this a mistake, or did they really just wrap up filming on Avengers 5?
Avengers 5? Oh, yeah, no, I'm sorry. It is Avengers 4. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It's just a typo.
And I'm like, wait, they've already filmed it, an untitled Avengers 5, and we still have an untitled Avengers 4.
I don't know what you mean. Show notes are corrected. I have never seen an Avengers 5. No,
well, there's one more spot where you put Avengers 5
well,
too.
So. Fix it then.
Fix that one too, buddy.
But no, what's going on with this? You know, obviously they're saying he, you know, Russo is referring to something in Avengers 4. We just don't know what. But, you know, some of the speculation that, Gizmodo has here, and I'm curious to see what you guys think, what direction we could see this happen too. But they're saying maybe Cap doesn't die like everyone thinks he's going to in some sort of, you know, the general thought is that he's going to sacrifice himself along with Tony Stark is going to do the same thing to save the rest of the heroes in the world and the galaxy, basically. Maybe, though, they're saying he just essentially retires, passes the shield to someone else. He'll be kind of in a Nick Fury cameo type role where he pops in as a mentor. Maybe he's doing some kind of new TV shows or anything like that. So a lot of possibilities for it, but it seems that Joe Russo is hinting that, you know, he's not done yet. So I don't know. What do you guys think? I mean, what direction can you see them taking Chris Evans, Captain America, where he's still going to be around, but
they'll probably make him like the Human Torch or something.
You think they'd have him switch characters? I mean, in the same universe where now
I hope not.
That would be weird.
That would be tough.
I was cloned.
I could see him taking over more of a leadership role with what's his name?
Shield? No, Nick Fury.
Nick Fury. Yeah, I can never remember his name, but maybe take over for him if he's like killed or retires, and he could just be like leading the whole thing.
So he goes into like at administration.
Yes.
he's like what's his name in Office Space? Me Stiepler.
No, well, it's a lot like a professional wrestler. He just becomes an announcer then.
Oh, true.
I don't know. This isn't in our show notes, but apparently Warner Brothers has announced a 3-tiered streaming service now too.
Oh, really?
Yep.
What's Warner Brothers properties? What are some
Bugs
of
Bunny.
Things? Well, I know.
let's
I mean,
see
they
here.
They had the wasn't Warner Brothers the 89 Batman and all of that? Because
didn't they also have Lethal Weapon?
Maybe
they've got Lethal Weapon. Lethal Weapon 4 had a Russo in it.
Huh.
Rene Russo.
They've got Harry Potter, Ace Ventura.
That's weird. I wonder what. I mean, they've got a lot of television properties
Mad Max,
too. Yeah.
Mortal Kombat, Lethal Weapon,
Lord
of the Rings. I don't know.
They do have a lot.
Well, I want to come back to this streaming thing. Something just popped in my head, and I think it's a good discussion worth having here real quick. So hold on to that for 1 second, because...
Remember that, Adam.
Just remember that. We'll be back to it in like 2 minutes. But the one thing I want to throw
we
out
we say
there,
that and we won't come back
yep,
to it?
No, we will. I'll make sure we will. The one thing I wanted to throw
out
there...
Okay, Geppetto.
The one thing I wanted to throw out there was with Captain America... you know, we know the story in Captain Marvel coming up is going to have the Skrulls coming here, which they're essentially body snatchers. They're people
The
Skrulls.
How do we know this?
It is in the previews. That's the green people you see showing up in the trailers, I should say. Yeah. And so
thanks for spoiling.
It's the trailer, dude. it's the people that their idea is to come to Earth and basically take over people in power all over, you know, not just people
in power.
No,
that's Venom, dude.
No, but they're impersonating, like, essentially they take over Invasion of the Body Snatchers kind of a thing. And there is a big theory going around that with Captain Marvel coming and introducing all of that into play, that in Avengers 4, we may see some of our favorite heroes have actually been these aliens the whole time.
Superman?
Well, no, I'm talking about the real, let's say the real Captain America has been locked away somewhere by these aliens, and there has been an alien that's impersonating him this whole time.
Hmm. I am Captain America.
No, but these guys do it in a real, like,
hello,
they
I'm
take
Captain
over,
America.
They take over their body.
That's an illegal alien.
You know what? Oh, no. What if that's the way they went, and we see guys like Cap get killed, and you find out as he dies, he turns back into this green alien, and you're like, what the heck? And then the real Captain America, it's a quest to find him kind of thing. He's been locked away somewhere. Who knows? A lot of different things they could do with it. So
He's still in the ice.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe.
You know what always bothers me, though, Dave? You have no respect for anybody.
What?
You have no respect for anybody.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I mean, you have a war hero, somebody that has actually saved the world many times. Instead of calling him Sir or Captain America, you just call him Cap.
That's because Cap is the man.
Yes, but you have to have some respect.
I do.
You guys are not on the same level, dude. You cannot have a nickname for him.
It's just mine, clearly. I'm the only one that ever calls him Cap. Yep. No, to come back to what you said about Warner Brothers streaming, though, I promise we're going to go back here. So what do we have right now?
Oh, I forgot about that.
What do we have right now? We've got, you're telling us, a brand new Warner Brothers three-tiered or tiered streaming service. Netflix, of course, Hulu, Amazon Prime, DC has their own, Disney, which is Marvel at the same time,
has CBS their has own. Theirs.
CBS All Access. How many more of these do we need? I mean, I understand these. When you look at it from the company's standpoint, it makes sense because they're looking at it saying, well, why should we basically let our stuff go in there and make pennies on the dollar for it? We can do this ourselves. Let's bring this in-house. Let's, you know, control our own creative, basically. But at the same time, the more and more of these that pop up, I think it's just going to kill, you know, the streaming services because people are going to have to make a choice. No one can subscribe to all of them.
No. And it's getting to the point to where, you know, the market is just saturated. But yep. You understand why, you know, especially some networks like CBS, why they have CBS All Access. Mm-hmm. You know, subscriber numbers are way down. People have been cutting the cord for a decade now.
Yep.
And, you know, and they're just not getting enough viewers. So their ad revenue is way down. They're like, all right, well, let's charge $5 a month and see if we just get everybody to come on.
Well, so some of the rumors on this is that it's also going to include HBO.
Oh,
and which HBO they have, has they not been relevant since the 80s.
But no, well, that's okay, not Game true. Of Thrones, they've had Westworld. The HBO service.
HBO like Go bucks. Or HBO yeah. Now, yeah. Whatever,
so if that gets rolled into there.
That's maybe. But I mean, still, you know, I think what's going to happen is you're going to see people look at it and say, all right, this Warner Brothers HBO service, I know I want to watch Game of Thrones. I know I want to watch Westworld and maybe whatever other show in the future. You know, they come out with a new show that everyone's loving. And then meanwhile, you've got CBS doing this thing,
the elevator.
DC, you know, whatever's going on. And I think you're going to see people just get to the point where they start jumping from one to the next. They'll sign up for 30 days, binge watch everything they want to watch, and then they'll cancel that, jump to another one,
A leader will rise from this stuff.
I predict you're going to see Netflix and Amazon continue in that space.
I would agree. I think one of the challenging pieces is, so they're going to start their own service just like Disney, and they're going to strip their properties from the other subscription services.
Yep. That's why I think Netflix especially and Amazon to a degree will rise and hold tight. Because when you look at it, they have put a huge emphasis in making some extremely good original content, especially Netflix.
Yep. And they're the innovators here.
Yeah, and they're the one that everybody knows, you know, and it to me, it doesn't feel like, you know, when you think of social media, like you've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you've got the old MySpace, Snapchat, all of this. What's the hot new one to be on? Netflix doesn't feel like that.
MySpace?
you think of it, excuse me, and you think of it and it's like, okay, so the younger people are looking at Facebook and saying, well, that's where my parents and grandparents are. I'm not going there. Instagram used to be cool, but now it's just this and this. So now we're in
now Snapchat. It's Tinder.
Now, you know, not Tinder, but I think you're going to find, much like in social media, you're going to have three different main players rise to the top: Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, which arguably it's two main players because Facebook and Instagram are the same thing. But in the streaming service, I think you'll see the main three that have been there the whole time and have just different approaches with Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon Prime, because they all have strong original content. Netflix arguably the strongest, but they also, you know, do a lot of other things. So I guess we'll just have to see how much of everything else gets pulled.
Right, right.
I told you we'd get back to it.
Speaking of Disney, I mean, they got this lying, stupid little, you know, puppet.
Mm-hmm.
Always, you know, lying. Tom Hanks is going to talk to it like it's a soccer ball.
It's a real boy.
What was a soccer ball's name again?
Wilson.
Wilson, that's right. I should have known that.
Duh.
What do you guys think about this?
I'm not surprised.
I don't know. My kids will probably dig it. My kids will dig it.
Like I said, when we talked about the Lion King trailer, Disney's making live action stuff, which is essentially just better animated versions of their old hand-drawn stuff.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Are they really even live action?
Well, the Lion King isn't. That's all CGI, but yeah. This might be. I mean,
The Jungle Book wasn't really either. That was almost all CGI.
Oh, was it? I never seen it. Well, I thought it was a live action, though.
It is in that it's like live humans.
Yeah, they've got real real humans. But
well, you could argue the same thing. Star Wars isn't live action anymore either.
True. Well, you could say the same thing about Infinity War.
But when you look at some of the other...
They weren't really on that planet.
When you look at some of the other...
And at the end of it, it was half-dead action.
Yeah. When you look at some of the other live-action remakes, so you look at Mary Poppins. I know that's not necessarily... I can't remember if that's Disney or not. I don't think so, but...
Yeah, it is.
Is it? You know, that's coming out. That's entirely live action. And yeah, there's special effects. My girls are so excited. I kind of want to see it too, just because I'm a big Emily Blunt fan, and I want to see what she does with that character.
Well, I'm a big Emily Blunt fan also, if it's, you know, The Edge of Tomorrow.
Well, but I just want to add, I'm an Emily Blunt fan.
You're just a regular size one.
This Standard. Is now the Emily Blunt. Emily, I can't say
no,
it. Emily Blunt Club. Podcast.
That's our spinoff show we're doing. We were supposed to save that as a big announcement.
Oh, guys.
EB Cast.
Oh yeah, never mind. I got it all wrong. I said it, the initials would be EMP, and we take down all machinery. But no, I said it wrong.
Yeah, it's
EBP.
Did. Good story. But no,
wow.
Really, with some of these, like Pinocchio, I imagine there'll be a number of people in this because obviously, you've got Geppetto, you got a lot of the other boys. Pinocchio will be CG, I assume.
Oh, do you know who would have been the best Geppetto?
Apparently, Tom Hanks.
No, he's playing Pinocchio.
No, no, he is not.
Oh, he isn't?
Hanks is going to play a little boy?
I thought he was going to do the voice.
In 60 years old? No.
No, yeah, the voice. Well, Robin Williams, I thought, would have been a great Geppetto. He would have had really good look for it.
I got to bring a Robin Williams story back to you, but let's talk about this.
Yeah, like first. We're going to get back to that story.
I'm keeping promises today, man. But no,
whoa.
This one, Tom Hanks, I think he's a good pick for Geppetto. I could see that character because he's not on screen all the time. You know, he's a main character, but when you think about it, he's kind of a narration device. You know,
and Tom Hanks has a good voice for narrating.
Yeah, and he's the one that brings him into the world and everything else. But it wasn't in most of the original Pinocchios, wasn't it Jiminy Cricket that narrated the whole thing?
Yeah, I want Tom Hanks in this role to yell, "You are a toy!" Oh.
Jiminy Cricket has got to be Kevin Hart. Can you imagine his voice coming out of that cricket?
Narrating Pinocchio? Yeah,
he almost sounds like a cricket in real life.
That's Jason at Digital Soup Podcast. Kevin Hart, you can reach out to him and yell at him.
Yep.
Hey, he's my distant cousin. We're good.
No, I don't know. And the thing to me... Adam, you hit the nail on the head right off the bat there. Are these really live-action remakes, or is this just Disney, you know, and I put it in the show notes, it's their way of updating the graphics, so to speak, with their classic films. Yeah. I mean,
I consider it live-action to me.
Yeah.
Even though it's all CG.
So let me ask you.
So I'm making my distinction between the hand-drawn.
Adam, I consider it live-action even though it's 100% CGI.
I didn't say 100%.
You said all, so I'm going with 100%.
I meant like... alternative all.
Well, and we've got Dumbo coming as well, being remade, same style.
Whoa, that's real. How are they going to get that real life elephant to fly?
But it actually looks pretty decent, but from a little bit I've seen of the trailers. But, I mean, you wonder at what point, you know, I never thought of it this way until we tried to do our 90s episode that we struggled with so
tried.
Hard.
Tried. You know, quotation,
that,
tried.
And what was the thing we found, though, that it was just a little too current to be able to pull off a fun, like, throwback. You know what I mean?
I can't wait to do the 20s episode.
Yeah. Yes. So I wonder when we look
hey
at these.
Hey, everybody, did you see the new Dapper Dan hair styling products?
But I mean, when
yeah,
we look
myself
at it.
I got myself, you know, Prohibition, Scohibition. I got myself some whiskey. Something like that.
They've got a large library in Disney to draw from the old classics. I mean, everything from Snow White and, you know, all of these, you know, older classics.
Draw from.
Yeah, to reboot into live action. But
well, yeah, they're in Sleeping Beauty, too. I mean,
are they? Okay. Yeah.
I think that one's
Well, and they kind of reimagined that already with Maleficent.
Yeah, well.
Maleficent.
Yeah.
Maleficent.
That was actually, honestly, that was not a
decent
bad movie.
Yeah.
I've never seen it. I can't wait to see Frozen live action.
Well, that's what I'm getting at, though. How long until we get to the point where some of these movies are just a little too new, and it's like, okay, this is ridiculous now. But, I mean, Frozen might be an extreme example, but there's other ones that were, they feel like they're pretty new, but really they're a little ways back. You know, you look at, what was the one set in New Orleans, The Princess and the Frog or something like that. You look at movies like Brave and some of those, and it really makes you wonder, like, okay, what are they doing? Are they going to try and do the whole thing, or are they just going after the older classic, like classic Disney? What are they doing?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Hopefully they don't have to do it that way. It's almost like doing another Spider-Man reboot. Like, yeah. You just came out with this. No, so, there's the newer style of animation where it's more CG-ish, Frozen and those versus the hand-drawn stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't we going to see a reboot of Shrek or something pretty soon?
That's what I heard.
Did I hear that one?
Oh, I just thought about this, and Dave would definitely go see this one. A real, real-life Bambi.
Oh, they probably will.
That's one that I think falls into that territory, though, because it's the hand-drawn animation. It's not really the Frozen style Pixar.
I'm not talking about CGI at all. They're going to use real deer, real rabbits.
Did I tell you I've got a starring role in that movie?
Uh-oh.
Are you Elmer Fudd?
I get to play the person that kills Bambi's mom.
Yes. Oh, I thought you got hit by a car.
I just filmed the scenes here this last.
Wait a second.
That was really backbreaking work, too.
Hey, this happened. Did you know Bambi came out in 1942?
Yeah.
I think the Germans killed him.
Well, let me go back.
Is Bambi a boy or girl? I don't even know.
The Germans killed
him? Okay. Yeah, it was the Nazis.
Zombie Nazi Wolfenstein style Bambi. I wanted you, when you mentioned Robin Williams, I did want to mention something. You've seen the movie August Rush? It's an older movie.
I have not. Yeah. I know you mentioned it. I had not seen it. Didn't August Rush, though, did it have that weird looking kid in it?
He now is the star of the television show The Good Doctor.
What's his name?
I can't remember his
Eddie
name.
Eddie Highmore or Freddie Highmore.
Something like
that's
that.
That's not who I'm thinking of. Oh, no, I'm thinking of Rushmore. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, with Bill Murray?
what's that weird-looking kid's name that was a star of it?
I can't remember who was in Rushmore with him. I can picture his face. I just can't think of
his name.
Yeah,
it's a weird-looking kid.
But no.
I just keep saying it.
I watched last night. The kids and I were sitting down and hanging out, and my wife had some errands run, so we were watching. Decided to watch a movie on a Saturday evening, and I was like, I think they're going to like this. My kids like music, and so I threw in August Rush. They hadn't seen it before. And
I have no
what a fantastic movie. I mean, just as a musician, but what a fantastic movie.
It was very good.
But does it have to do with the band Rush?
No. No, but
kinda.
Robin Williams is in there.
He says.
Robin Williams
is in
there. Yeah,
well, that's one of the movies where he plays a jerk.
And he is a massive jerk, but at the same time, some of the quotes and the way he talks about music is so incredibly amazing. You know, he talks about how you can't teach it. It's not in a book. You feel it. It's out there, you know, and all that. It's really a pretty complex role, even though he's kind of a jerk, you know, the way he's going about stuff. But he, man, that guy he's such a talent. I mean, we think of him as the quirky, ha-ha comedian, but he could do so many things.
Yep,
it blew my mind when you said Robin Williams. If listeners, if you haven't seen him in that role, he plays a character called Wizard. You need to check out August Rush.
I might have to because I have not seen that movie.
Yeah, it's very, very good. I mean, you know, and I went to this. I wasn't sure how I was going to play because I had kind of a 1-2 punch of movies last night. And I'm like, I don't know. These are very different movies. And I watched August Rush with my kids, and then they went to sleep. My wife was home, so I snuck out, ran to the theater, and went and watched Creed 2. And I'm like, okay.
False.
What?
Tell the truth.
What? I did.
He put the kids to bed. His wife was still gone. He left and watched Creed 2.
No, that is not true. Wife was home. And so I went and watched Creed 2. I'm like, I don't know, going from August Rush, this music, you know, kind of motivational tearjerker movie, into Creed 2. But doggone it, if they weren't perfect, a perfect movie pairing because they're both like Rocky movies always have that like motivation,
like a red wine with red meat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Rocky movies are always inspirational to me. They always get me feeling like, yeah, I can do anything. And Creed 2 was fantastic. I won't spoil it, but really, really.
please tell me that Ivan Drago's son said,
"I must break you."
No, but Drago himself says it numerous times. Break.
Oh,
him.
Dolph is in there.
Oh yeah,
he's so old. He's like, I have broken.
Oh, when
something.
You see him and Stallone together in these scenes,
don't spoil it. So this is going to be so much better than Creed 1.
No, they're not. Did it blow
Creed 1 away, though?
No, they're both very good, and they're really, really? Okay. This is Stallone's last Rocky movie. He's come out and said it. As soon as this movie came out and was in theaters, Stallone came out and said that is the end
Until Rocky Balboa 2 is released in 2020.
He said it's the end of his story with Rocky, and I believe it this time. Yeah. And you see the way things end up in the movie, you'll understand why. But it was so good. But watch.
How about a Rambo? Are we going to see another Rambo?
We are. They're making it. Rambo Last
is
Blood.
Is it with Sylvester Stallone?
Yep. Last Blood.
Or is he passing the torch?
Nope.
Rambo. Last Blood?
Last Blood is being filmed, I think. Or maybe he's already done filming right now.
There was First Blood. Then there was First Blood Part 2. And then there was all the other ones. But then there's Last Blood.
When you see Stallone and Dolph Lundgren sharing the screen together, man. I mean, I'm sure some of it is makeup.
Oh, please tell me they've boxed.
No, they don't. But some of it is makeup. But man, oh man, do those guys look old. Holy cow. But
just like in The Expendables, they're both in that too.
Right, right. And Stallone still looks like he's kind of a, pardon the language, badass at that in that Expendables series. Like he could still fight. Boy, you look at Rocky, he's a little old man. Like that guy ain't fighting anybody anymore.
That Rocky Balboa movie in 2006 had one of the best inspirational scenes where he gives that speech to his son. Do you remember that one?
Yep.
That's solid. Anyway. This
has, I have to this watch him some... again because I don't remember. I'm sure I saw Rocky Balboa because it came out close at the same time as the new Rambo had, correct?
Yep.
And I know I believe I'd watch both of them because I'm like, yeah. Childhood, reliving, yeah.
Exactly.
That type of thing.
I'm kind of laughing a little bit because I skipped ahead in our story and I'm looking at a Victorian era Wolverine art picture.
Well, we can jump to that. Hilarious. It's a quick little story I wanted to put in, and I believe this artist is in a book I recently got too. But
and who put that graphic in our show notes?
Adam did. Which we cannot talk about because he'll make you edit it.
Well, the Pinocchio nose is in the wrong spot, though, Adam. It's not, as Dave would say, that nose does nothing for me.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
No, but what I wanted to share here, this is just
put it on the Facebook page.
This is the equivalent of our old weekly garners, just something cool that I wanted you guys to check out. Listeners, you can check this out too. There's an artist whose name is Alex Gross, and what he does, you've all seen these old like Victorian era, they're like just old photos and postcards and things like that, the way their pictures are. I think of them even like the old baseball cards with like Honus Wagner and some of those guys were, very old style. And this artist goes in and basically remakes those images, keeping essentially just the face and sometimes loosely the pose and layout. And then he creates them into these, superhero type, not all superheroes, but mostly superheroes and pop culture trading cards. I mean, everything from Batman and Robin to, Game of Thrones, Batgirl, all of these things. But yeah, the Wolverine one Adam's talking about.
Yeah, it looks like pretty good.
This guy is all stoic and they show the original picture, the source material he used, and then the final one there. It's just such a fun bit of art.
He reminds me of an 1800s strongman in a circus.
Yeah. But with how they bloody grow that. Claws. Yeah. It's very cool. And I think this artist, I have to look, but I had gotten this book for Christmas. And I know it's not Christmas yet. We had to do an early gift exchange for some family that wasn't going to be here at Christmas. And I got this book. It was called Geek Art. And I think I've seen this guy's art in that book as well. And it jumped out at me when I saw it. But it's just such a, something different, something fun. Where we're not seeing just the same old comic book art, I mean, granted, some of that's amazing, but there's the one with Dave's Vader.
Like, it's so pedestrian, the normal art.
We see a lot of art now. We look at guys like we talked about him before, Boss Logic. The guy does amazing
work. Yeah, that
guy's
awesome, dude.
He does some amazing stuff. But
you know what? We need an Adventures in Curiosity episode with the Boss Logic
guy. I would
guy.
Love to talk with him on Adventures in Creativity.
Make it happen. And, you know, if you make that happen, Dave, I will never again call it Adventures in Curiosity. So now you have a reason to get him on the show.
I'll see what I can do. It would be awesome. But, I mean, that type of art that he's doing, it's all, you know, very much digital illustration, and he's using these tools, and it's fantastic. And then you look at this, and it just has this, like, hand-drawn, old-school, colored pencil, you know, almost type work. And the one that's cracking me up, Adam, did you see it? It's a little ways down on the list, but it's Darth and Family. Is the caption, and it's this guy sitting with his two kids in the original picture, a boy and a girl. And in the remake, it's got Darth Vader, but instead of the Vader mask, it's got the guy's face from the old photo. And in the kids, he's transformed into like a young Luke and Leia. I really like that one too.
You know, the one thing I don't like about this at all is, of course, he found the one black photograph and had to turn that into Black Panther.
Well, what is he supposed to do?
That is very stereotypical.
Well, what was he going to do? Take a white photograph and turn it into Black Panther?
He could have, or he could have taken a black man and turned him into, you know,
Luke Cage.
Any other character.
I've got a few critiques of this art.
Yeah?
And for one, I'm surprised that no one's mentioned yet that the iconicity of the fracture spatially undermines the remarkable handling of the light.
Hey, then, way to read that.
And then also, I'm surprised that the reductive quality of the figurative narrative line space matrix visually and conceptually activates a participation in the critical dialogue of the 1990s.
I do love the Mr. Incredible image, though. That guy's funny.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Anyway, there is an instant art critique phrase generator that I found.
Yes, I knew you were reading.
I'm going to put this in the show notes right above that story because it is awesome. You type in five numbers and it creates art critiques for yourself.
That's brilliant.
I find this work menacing and playful because of the way the sublime beauty of the spatial relationships seems disturbing in light of the remarkable handling of the light.
Oh, that is awesome. I need to play
you
with
sound
that
so
more.
Intelligent, but I've met
I know.
Hey, that Mr. Incredible image, at first glance,
yeah, that's funny.
I don't think it is, but you know, it reminds me of Teddy Roosevelt almost.
Yeah, a little bit. That's what I was thinking.
It's not him, but I'm like
with the fists up.
Yeah, it's like there he is.
He looks like Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, Wilford Brimley would be another one. Yeah,
this is how I fight diabetes.
Oh, it's so good. I love it.
Anyway,
the Wonder Twins.
It's difficult on a pod for somebody listening to be able to see this stuff. Please check this out in our show notes.
Yeah,
click the link, peeps.
Absolutely. We've got it on the website. We've got it right in your podcast player. Swipe to the side, whichever way your player gets you to the show notes. It's right there. You can hit that link.
Usually you swipe left, the opposite of what Adam does on Tinder.
What's Tinder?
When he's looking at his own photo.
Tinder is when I light up. I swipe left on my own picture.
Yeah.
You have no self-worth, do you?
I think, what time is it?
It's time for a geek off.
What was that?
I'm trying to come up with new noises for the end of this.
That sounded like
there you go.
So mature.
Oh man.
So what are we doing for the old geek off?
Well,
I can't wait to find out.
I thought what we'd do is we haven't done it in a while. I thought I'd throw a couple of these. I just pulled out some of the cards from the Would You Rather game that we would go through every now and then before we got into our big super fights. And I'm thinking of some ideas. A friend of mine, he does it on Twitter, and it's actually a ton
Boss
of fun.
Logic?
No, his name on Twitter is @Meltmore. He's a guy I've known since high school. Luke is his name.
I hate that guy.
No, but he did this thing all fall.
He's supposed to ask me why, dude.
Why do you hate him?
Because every single time he orders a grilled cheese from me, he goes, can you melt it more?
He's ironically, he works as a chef. But he's a pretty awesome dude. And if he's listening, Luke, this is just a shout out for you. But he did this thing all fall. He called it the Great Cereal Debate on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And every day he'd put up a poll, you know, head-to-head matchup of two cereals. People would vote, everything else. And now he's in the middle of one called the Animate Debate, where he's going through all kinds of animated films head-to-head to crown a champion. And it's a massive, you know, long process because he goes like double elimination, all this stuff. And I was thinking it might be fun for us to do something like similar to that, but maybe on a little smaller scale where it maybe goes for a month and we crown a winner of different topics. But instead of having one of us judge, we know that our listeners just don't like to participate to polls online. And so what if the three of us just went in and kind of debated something and you know, came up with an idea, and the three of us would come to a consensus on that. So I've got some ideas going forward for that. But for today, I want to know, would you rather? It's a football Sunday, is it not?
Would we rather?
I want to know, would you rather mow an entire football field by hand with a pair of dull children's scissors?
Oh, yes, please.
Or mow an entire football field on a riding lawnmower, but you're naked and in a stadium full of people watching.
Oh, definitely number two, because I'm lazy as...
Hand me the scissors.
What? Are you serious? Okay, you start,
I'm not riding mower naked in front of anybody.
Jason's plan is that once he comes out like the Zamboni out of the back, you know, the depths of the stadium to start mowing, the stadium will see him naked bouncing along on that little riding mower, and they will vacate quickly anyways. So,
well, surprise in fact, my junk has been nicknamed the Zamboni.
Oh, that's so bad.
So I got to tell you guys, I played my wife our 100th podcast.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, she's like, you guys are not family friendly.
I don't know on that.
All right. So are we just skipping this, or are you actually doing it, Adam?
What's that?
Well, we're doing a debate here.
Oh, I already said my thing.
Yeah, he gave an answer. He said give the scissors. Give I've got scissors. More for you.
Okay. Well, I honestly, I mean, I don't have a great body. I mean, I have a nice one, but I don't have a great body. But there is no way that I'm going to spend a month cutting that grass with kid scissors.
You get to the 50-yard line and I'm going to tell you.
But by the time you get to the 50-yard line, the 10-yard line is growing back already.
Which stadium are we talking about?
Mile High. You can hardly breathe.
It's got to be an outdoor stadium. So
I'll pick one with. I want you to pick one with AstroTurf.
Yeah, it's in U.S. Bank Stadium. Sweet. Where they just roll the turf out.
Yep, I'm done. And clothed.
All right, so here's the next one for you guys. Embarrassing. Throw a couple of these at you. They don't need a lot of... Adam, do you have something you want to jump in?
Well, I was going to add, if you guys have ever heard of Milk and Cereal, the song by G-Love and the Special Sauce.
Kind of. It sounds familiar.
It's like, Milk and Cereal, Milk and Cereal. Just Jason's rap reminded me.
Well, I'm editing that out, so now nobody knows what you're talking about.
Good.
You want me to edit out Milk and Cereal, too?
I don't care. What you want.
All right.
Can I just edit your channel?
I don't even work here.
All right, guys, so here's the next one for you.
All right, let's go. Let's do this.
Would you rather drink a mouthful of curdled milk
or
drink a quart of milk directly from the cow's udder?
Udder milk.
I'm going to have to probably agree with Adam. I'd go with udder milk, even though I've heard that it tastes horrible. Tom Green let me know, but that it tastes really horrible straight out of the teat.
I'm with the udder guy.
All right, so Jason, pick a popular TV show. Adam, pick an unpopular TV show.
Any decade?
Anytime, yeah.
Anytime at all. Let's go with Cheers.
Cheers.
I mentioned it earlier.
That's like popular.
It.
Okay.
It was. It was extremely popular.
No, I know. Adam, what's the unpopular one?
An unpopular
Just
one?
Just any unpopular show.
Well, why would it be on the air?
Well, you know.
Shows get canceled after.
Freaky Links.
Okay.
What?
So, would you rather have a very small recurring role on Cheers or be the lead on Freaky Links?
Cheers.
Cheers.
Okay. Yeah. Here we go.
And actually, for the record, I never actually saw Freaky Links. I just thought of one that I knew didn't last long.
Right. All right. So here you go. Would you rather have your only form of entertainment be pimple popping videos or have your only form of entertainment be watching paint dry?
I would rather.
Only form.
Let's go with paint dry so I can at least eat.
Oh, you're eating the paint? You freak.
There's no lead in it anymore.
Why?
Now, Pippa-Pop and Video might not be bad for like 1 or 2 months, but
he's having to give it real thought.
No,
when
I'm going
to do that Pippa-Pop Video. My name is Jason and it's the dealio.
Pippa-Pop and Video.
Pippa-Pop Video.
I would have to go with paint dry, I guess.
All right. So would you rather have a romantic candlelit dinner with a Sasquatch or go water,
male or female first? Male or female
says,
first.
Just says a Sasquatch.
Okay.
Or go water skiing behind the Loch Ness Monster.
Dude, if you're water skiing behind the Loch Ness Monster, he's not trying to eat you. So in other words, you're having a kick butt water skiing extravaganza.
So does that mean that
like I could defend myself from a Sasquatch better than the Loch Ness Monster?
Yeah.
No, but if he's letting you water ski behind him, he's not trying to kill you.
Why are you assuming that either is trying to kill you?
Yeah, well, I'm sitting and having some Jack Link's jerky over here.
I mean, you're having a wonderful romantic candlelit dinner.
Yeah, Adam forgot romantic.
So?
Sasquatches are hairy and warm at
There's
night.
Tongue, Adam.
Oh. All right. Oh, so would you rather?
I am now going to go water skiing.
Would you rather always know when someone is lying to you, or would you rather be able to talk anyone into doing whatever you want?
Oh, yes. Killmonger, definitely. Killmonger? Was that his name?
No.
No, Monger, something Monger. No, Killjoy.
No, Killjoy? Yeah, Killjoy.
Killjoy. No. Definitely Killjoy, because I don't want to know if people are lying to me, because what if every single person is lying to you? But if I could talk people into doing whatever I want?
I can also talk them into telling me the truth, so I win both things.
Yeah! Good job, Adam! 3-0
No scores. These are just
I've got a clear lead over Dave.
Oh, speaking of that, I listened to our podcast again the other day, whichever one this was on. It's like it's 2-2, and Adam goes something like, the lead, healthy lead, or yeah, something like that.
Well, I didn't say it like Rob Schneider from the Making Copies
Making
era.
Copies. I say that at work every week when I'm at the copy machine, making copies.
Joy, the Joyster, drinking her special coffee.
Joy Sereno. All right. Would you rather have definitive proof that aliens exist, or have definitive proof that there is life after death?
Life after death.
Yep.
I agree.
Which I already think there is anyway, but that's me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he said definitive proof. We have faith. We don't have proof.
All right, I've got two more for you. And then
Adam's like, well, we can debate that after the show, Jason.
Let's get into this.
Save that
talk
for the theology podcast.
The theology off. All
right.
It's time for an in-depth theological discussion.
Off.
Off.
Dave just adds off.
That's what makes anything interesting.
I'm not your Alexa, Dave.
I don't have trouble with one. All right, so the last two. Would you rather go to your high school reunion and find out you were the class bully, or go to your high school reunion and find out you were the biggest loser in class?
Well, you should already know that, loser.
I don't know. I would probably rather find out I was the biggest loser, because that wouldn't change who I am now, just finding that out. But
yeah,
I would hate
exactly. You'd still be a loser.
You'd still be living in your mom's basement.
Still a loser. Hashtag still a loser.
I would hate to think that I, traumatized kids.
That's right, loser.
I agree with that, but I just think I'm laughing because I imagine Jason looking at his yearbook. You know, they always sign it, never change, man. And he took that literally. He's like, I'll always be a loser.
Everybody's sentence was an anagram for loser. What?
Well, I never noticed this before.
This is BS.
All right, last one for you guys.
I rolled my 20-sided die and it said I was cool.
My cloak of invisibility.
I'm going to go build my fort out of couch cushions now.
Sounds like you just did that this weekend, Adam.
So don't judge.
Well, if the wife kicks you out of bed and you got to sleep on the couch, you might as well have fun, right?
Yeah, make a fort. Watch cartoons, have some cereal, make a fort.
Call it a win. All right, so would you rather never be able to do a good high five or...
Why would that even matter?
Some people love slapping a good high five. So would you rather never be able to do a good high five or have a complicated handshake that no one can do?
What?
No? You don't like that one?
But couldn't you also alternatively just do a regular handshake?
Well, that's not the parameters of this story. You have to do one or the other.
So in other words, you can't shake hands or you can't high five?
Correct. Okay, I'm going to go with the high five because for a comedy standpoint, that would be awesome. Oh, missed again.
All right. You accidentally high five people in the face instead.
Yeah.
All right. So
I didn't slap you.
That one ended kind of a dud, right? Sure. So let's do this.
Duds McKenzie.
Let's do this, Duds McKenzie. I like that. Let's keep that.
Oh, is Spud's dead?
He's a guaranteed dog. That happened when we were like... 10. I'm sure him and the five replacements are all
dead.
So
I was probably 35.
Probably made into dog food or something already. I don't know.
They do not make dogs into dog food, dude.
I don't know what they do with dogs.
I mean, all the dead cats become cat food.
I'm usually Dave, an insensitive a-hole. Anyways.
Isolate that track.
I will, buddy.
All okay, right,
keep
guys.
In
last
mind, that
one.
Is at 1 hour, 16 minutes, 16 seconds.
All right, so I'll give you one that maybe is a little better. Would you rather sleep naked for a month in a wet sleeping bag or sleep in a bed filled with crackers for the rest of your life?
Sleeping bag, wet sleeping bag.
Yep. Crackers would just be too much.
I agree. No food allowed in bed.
I don't want that clown in my bed ever.
I didn't even think of that.
Come to bed, Adam.
Oh, that's terrible.
I got you some Advil so you can't say you had a headache this night.
South of the border, you can call me Pinocchio.
Edit.
When I'm in Mexico.
Sleep in bed with crackers for the rest of your life, Dave. That's
I can't.
We know that that's Jason's character.
I did not think of that before the question.
I'm a very sensual lover.
Yeah, you roll over, you hear that honking noise.
And then when he has gas, it's like, ooga!
Jeez.
Oh, no. Oh, all right.
Anyways, that was accidentally great.
Yeah, that's our geek off for this week.
Well done. Oh, man. That's awesome.
You know, hold on a second.
What is it called?
A seg block.
Exit block?
That's called constipation. That's different. But our geek off.
You just constipated me.
I'm sorry, man. Our geek off has turned into, it's not a geeky debate anymore. It's just a laugh session. I love it.
Hey, crackers and clowns involved. You know it's going to be hilarious.
Did you guys know that constipation is the thief of time? Oh, no, wait. That's procrastination. I'm sorry.
Technically, you're right on both counts.
Yes. Yeah, because you're just sitting there, you know, blowing out an O-ring.
Who does number two work for?
So before we put the lid on the soup, guys, stick around because afterwards we have our unsigned music spotlight. And this week, we are bringing the Saboteurs with a track called Captain. It's not about Picard. It's not about Kirk. I'm guessing it's about something else.
So.
Formed in Lincoln, UK in late 2015, Ben Ellis was performing solo acoustic originals and playing in a folk band, Dog Goblins. That's a cool name. While Rick Whitehead had been the lead songwriter and guitarist in an alt-metal band. Well, let me ask you this, guys. What is the difference between metal and alt-metal?
Metallica to Nickelback.
Oh.
I don't know.
So their band was called Trip Switch, which did not sound like Nickelback, I can almost guarantee.
Guar to UB40.
The band racked up an extensive amount of gigs over the next 18 months, including several festival slots and support with Black Ballad, featuring Marshall Gill from New Model Army, They have a huge range of musical influences, including New Model Army, Tool, Queens of the Stone Age, Deftones, Red Hot Chili Peppers, and Susie and the Banshees. We got the Hollyhocks. We got the O'Neaters.
The O'Neaters.
So that's, I did finally watch That Thing You Do the other day again. So. Anyway, their music is totally and utterly from their hearts, knowing the importance of music to their lives. You can check out Saboteurs UK on Facebook. Track is called Captain. Great to have a band on there. The three of us here at the Digital Soup Podcast want to thank you guys for listening. To see more content, contact us, or interact in any way, head on over to digitalsouppodcast.com. You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to subscribe, leave us a review if you'd be so kind. And also, I want to put a plug in for Dave's new podcast, Adventures in Creativity.
Curiosity.
Creativity. It's fueled by curiosity.
It is.
But Dave has a bunch of awesome content on there. He's interviewing creative guests, talking about creativity. It's a little bit different from Digital Soup, but it's fantastic. So please check that out. And be kind, rewind. From all of us at the Digital Soup Podcast, stay safe, have an awesome week. We'll catch you next time.
Take care, guys.
Later, pipple-popping gators. Pipple-pop.